Again, good morning. It's good to be together today. I suspect that maybe you have been praying for me. I hope that is the case as we bear with one another. That is a great thing of being part of the family of God, as we have been transferred from that kingdom of the flesh into the kingdom of life and peace by His Spirit. We are His family, and we pray for each other. And I say that because I listened to last week's sermon, and in that I think I'd mentioned that I had a difficult week for whatever reason. Just hard to read my Bible, hard to work my memory. I was tired, and I tell you, this week was good. And so thank you for praying for me and my family. I really appreciate it. I feel so grateful. This morning, I was grateful for our home. I was particularly grateful for how close it is. Now, some people think, you're in the fishbowl, right? You can't get away from your work. But, tell you what, so this morning, I get here early, and I get to the door. I didn't have my keys. So I walked back, got my keys. Hey, Matt got in, turned the lights on, went upstairs. Didn't have my glasses. Went back, got my glasses, came back here. Came up to get my guitar ready. I needed a 9-volt battery. Walked back over, got my 9-volt battery, came back. My hate-hate relationship with the printer popped up, and I had to run home again to make some copies. So I was grateful today, and it was good. Sunday school next week. I'm excited. I hope, for me, the more time I can be here, the better. I feel like David sometimes, that one day here is better than 1,000, and just want to be and begin with you. The book, Heaven Help Our Church. Again, there are copies back there. There's one per family. Get a hold of it. And I know I'm putting a burden upon you. I understand. There's the part of me that says, suck it up. All right. But I won't go there. But I encourage you in love to read this. The chapters are not very long. Pastor Brian here is a good man. I got to know him. He was the interim at Buffalo E3 when we were there before they hired a new pastor. I appreciate his insights and wisdom. And in this book, Heaven Help Our Church, just walks us through just potential issues, of family, really. It's just talking about family and how sometimes things get messy. And we all understand that, right? That family's messy sometimes, So, chapters of, talking about getting the big picture, determined to do what's right, determined to grow, pray like crazy, understand why good people do bad things, right? Understanding the challenge of conflict, take careful action, care enough to confront, say goodbye with grace, and have a happy ending. He just walks us through and scripturally bases and gives great stories and experience to walk us through these things, and I look forward then to talking and going this with you all on Sunday morning. So, chapter one, so this small intro, and chapter one for next week, grab yourself a copy, all right? So, don't forget, I'll remind you again, but good book. I think you'll enjoy reading. I really, really do. So, keep that in mind. Again, thanks for your prayers. One thing I thought about this week. I was struck this week as I was studying that what a great age we live in with God's Word. We have so much access to God's Word. And as I was just kind of playing around and working through today's text, I went back and looked at a couple other translations. And I just found it refreshing. It really, all of a sudden, just the way another translation phrased a phrase, it kind of clicked in my mind. Yes, that helps me. That helps me. So I encourage you, if maybe things are dry in your Bible reading, or you're struggling with understanding something, grab another translation. I got a translation in the mail this week. A little perk of being a pastor, I was able to sign up, and they sent me a free Bible, and the Christian something version, CEV, maybe CEV, something like that, from Holman. I like it. I really do. So anyway, I encourage you to keep that kind of things in mind. All right. All together now, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those
those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Stand on that rock. You're going to be tired of it, aren't you? You're going to go, Pastor Steve, come on, give it a break. I can't. I can't. I get so excited, and I just, oh, no condemnation. You know, there's a confidence that comes with numbers, isn't there? For better or for worse, you know, we do things maybe that we might be afraid of if we have someone with us, right? I once jumped out of a perfectly good airplane because my mother-in-law and brother-in-law wanted to do it. What in the world? I never went on my own. Oh, that's stupid. But, you know, peer pressure and that, like I said, for better or worse, you know, numbers can give us a confidence. You know, I think, too, of how, like, sometimes how a child can be afraid of a dark hallway or monsters under the bed. When I was growing up as a kid, elementary school age, we lived in an old hotel in Nevis, Minnesota, built in 1914. Big old, wonderful place. I mean, just a place to explore and run around. The basement scared me to death. There's a stairway. You go down the stairway, and it's creaky wood, and old concrete, and spider webs. And you know, as a second grader, we moved there, third grader, I was convinced that as I walked down those stairs, a hand or tentacle or something was going to come up and grab my foot. And I'd literally go like this until I got to the bottom. I mean, I hated to go downstairs to the laundry room. I hated when Mom said, go get something out of the pantry. It just terrified me, really, until I was probably much older than I should have been to still be afraid of it. You know, but if my dad was with me, there was no issue at all. I mean, none. I would walk down those stairs and say, grab me if you dare, right? There's a confidence we have when we're with somebody that we know we're not alone. That feeling of aloneness, of feeling like there's nobody else that understands or with you can be debilitating. Anxieties can grow and we can lose perspective. Mm-hmm. But when you have people with you, brothers, sisters, friends, neighbors, they help us to regain perspective.
Right.
That when I'm weak, you can be strong. And when you're weak, I can be strong.
Right.
And we can bear with one another.
Hallelujah.
So Christians then should be really the most confident, bold, risk-taking people in the world. And why? Because we are never alone. Ever.
Right.
Throughout from page one to the last page, God communicates to us over and over, I am with you.
Right.
I am with you. And today, as we move on in Romans 8, we're looking at verses 9 through 11. Turn there if you have a Bible. Starting verse 9. Last week we ended in verse 8 with, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And now in verse 9 he says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
Yeah.
Today, the Apostle Paul here adds another link to that chain of assurance that we can grab onto and hold on to that bedrock of no condemnation. That link today is the presence of his Spirit in us. We are people of the Spirit. And this relationship that we have, now that we have been transferred with kingdoms, that from the flesh into the Spirit, from death into life, we enter a relationship that is so close, so intimate, that it's described as being in Christ and as the Spirit dwelling in us. So today I see three wonderful assurances that these verses show us, three promises that we have related to God's presence with us and in us by the Holy Spirit. Three great assurances that I think can give us really complete confidence in living a fearless life in Him. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 gives us that first assurance, which is the Spirit of God dwells in you. He starts out by contrasting what we saw in verse 8. So he speaks to these Roman Christians and says, you, however, all right, this may be true, that those in the flesh don't can't please God, but you, no. You are no longer in that realm of flesh, but you're in the realm of spirit. And it's really a statement of our position, of where we stand now. We stand with God, and our position is with Him.
Yeah.
Now, there is a condition we see here, right? In verse 9, it says, you are not a spirit if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, it may seem here that Paul may have some doubts about these Roman Christians, right? He's saying, hey, you know, yes, you are not a flesh and the Spirit. You know, if, maybe, or, you know, the Spirit's in you. But I don't think that's what Paul's trying to communicate to these Christians here, all right? He is addressing believers here, and he wants to give them the confidence and assurance. And there's two reasons why I think that's the direction Paul goes here. One is, in the text, you know, that when it says, if in fact God's Spirit dwells in you, that phrase, if in fact, is a Greek word, and it also carries the meaning of since. Okay? So, if you put since in there, think about that. So, you are not in the flesh, if in since the Spirit of God dwells in you. All right? Now, and I think we can take it that way because, in the context of what we've seen so far, starting in verse 1, is Paul just wanting to understand how wonderful and assuring and great it is that we have this no condemnation. So he's not scolding them and telling them, make sure, remember last week we talked about, this is not about making sure and waving back and forth between the line. It's the rock solid assurance that we are in Christ. That if you believe, that if you your heart is softened by God, you're there. And you don't go back and forth. Okay, that other kingdom might whisper in your ear once in a while, but no. I stand here. My position is here with God in the Spirit. And that presence in us gives us that assurance. So since the Spirit of God dwells in you, we are assured of this. A commentator on the book of Romans named Douglas Moo, I'm sure he never got made fun of that in school, puts it this way. However much we may need to grow in our relationship to the Spirit, and however much we may be graciously given fresh and invigorating experiences of God's Spirit, from the moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit is a settled resident within. He has moved in.
Right.
He has made his home in you. Now again, how does that work? I have no idea. Right? I mean, you know, but the picture is, again, intimacy of closeness. It is so intertwined with us and who we are that we can see it as mm-hmm. being literally in us. That's awesome. It's just awesome. So, you know, and this relationship is so interesting because, you know, Jesus, you know, you look in the book of John, chapter 16, he's preparing his disciples, saying, you know, I got to go, right? And the disciples mm-hmm. are not happy with this. No, Lord, you got to stay. We need you, right? He says, no. What does he say in chapter 16, verse 7? He tells them that it's to their advantage that he leaves. He says, no, it's better. It's better if I go, you guys, really. It's way better for you if I'm not here. Well, why would he say that? Because the Helper is going to come. The Helper, the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit will be with him forever. It'll teach them, it'll bring to remembrance all they need to know. It'll bear witness of Jesus to them and to the world.
Right.
That's amazing. That it's better that the Spirit is in me than to have Jesus standing right here.
Right.
We are Spirit people. We have nothing to fear. You know, because we trust in Christ, and we believe in Him, we acknowledge what He has done, if we treasure Him above all things,
mm-hmm.
He's with us. He actually dwells in us. What great confidence that should give us. What risk we should be willing to take for His kingdom, because really, what risk is there? There is none. Really, think about it. Think again, remember when we transform by the renewing of our minds. So as we start to remember and think about what that means, you know, the tiny little kid, you know, can stand right in the face of a big bully if he knows his big brother standing right behind him, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have no reason to fear. Nothing. There's no risk.
Fearless.
When you have the God creative than everything in you. The second assurance we see in verse 10, and that is this. Although our bodies are going to die, the Spirit gives us life. Look at verse 10. But, and again, that but there, again, I think carries the same meaning of since or because, all right? You can understand it that way, all right? So, if I put since in there, really, boy, it makes it different, doesn't it? Since Christ is in you, all right? Because Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. This body is going to die. You are going to die. Sorry. From the moment we're born, we are on a path to our death. Morbid, maybe, but true. It's true for me, it's true for you, it's true for all of humanity. Because of sin, because of the fall, death has entered this world, and we are going to die. But, because of the Spirit, there's life. What we're talking about here is eternal life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will what? Will not perish, but have eternal life. Well, does that mean His body's not going to die? No. Happens all the time, doesn't it? Good God of people, they're in the grave right now. But, because of the Spirit, we will live. We will live forever with Him. The presence of the Spirit in us assures us, though death is the reality, we can live in that already not yet confidence of the life to come. You understand? So, that already not yet, that tension we have of, I'm going to live forever, but my body's going to die. You know, it's a future. We live in a future today. We can live in that future life today because of the confidence of the Spirit in us.
That's right.
Eternal life begins the moment God softens your heart, calls your name, and you say, yes, Lord, I believe. You are in eternal life. You are in the future today because of the Spirit. And that Spirit is the reason. That presence of God in you gives us that great confidence that I will live forever.
Amen.
And the third assurance we have. See, Paul takes it a step further then, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, this body's going to die. I have the confidence of eternal life by the Spirit. Well, Paul takes it one more step there in verse 11. Look at it. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Assurance number three is this. The presence of God's Spirit in us is a down payment of hope for a resurrected body. Okay? Look at Paul's logic here, his thinking, okay? He says that the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, okay? And what Spirit is that? God, right? So God's Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Now, if that Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is in you, then we can hope for a resurrection as Jesus was resurrected. Turn back a page or so in your Bible to Romans 6. This is wonderful. 6 verse 5. It says, for if we have been united with Him in death like His, alright, so if we take upon and live in that righteousness that comes from Him because His sacrifice is death that paid for us, if we are united in that, then that same unification is that we can have a body like His. We shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Wow! I don't know about you, but more and more and more, I look forward to that new body. All right? So it's last Friday, I was working and on my own, and my knee hurt. My lower back was tight. My right shoulder, when I was in my 20s, I threw a ball a little too hard from third base to first base, and it's bothered me ever since. To have a new body, that is our hope. The Spirit in us reminds us of a new body. Think, no cancer. No heart disease, no Parkinson's, no dementia, no AIDS, no aching knees or back or shoulders or hips, no cold, no flu, no asthma, no allergies, no nearsightedness, no farsightedness, no blindness, no deafness, no paralysis, no rashes, no baldness, I don't know. A new body.
Hallelujah.
Complete, whole, as it should have been, as it should be.
Praise God.
We live in a broken world, and then one day God is going to put it together and make it right again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason that we need this new body
says, we are going to see and experience things that this body wouldn't even be able to handle. I do. I think that we are going to see such glory. God Himself. But even in the new heaven, new earth, mountains and grass and flowers and colors and universes and galaxies, it's all ours.
Hallelujah.
A new body. That is our hope. That is why we can take another step today. That is why we can face tomorrow. Because His Spirit is in us. You know, Paul describes it elsewhere as a deposit. Something to remind us that, yes, good things are coming. What a great thing this is. Think of me. This is life in the Spirit. These verses, 1 through 11, really just speak to this idea of Spirit. And I want us to get our mindset spiritual. You know, it's so easy just to look at this and think this is what's real. But what's more real is God's Spirit, to open our eyes to that. To get our thinking motivated, oriented towards Him and His glory more and more and more. That is what we desire.
Hallelujah.
This life in the Spirit gives us no condemnation, freedom from sin and death, the power and ability to walk that path of obedience and pleasing to Him more and more. Our relationship is so close. That's described as in me. God's Spirit dwelling. He's made His home, set up residence in us. How do we respond to this today? My hope and prayer is worship.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, sitting in a pew on Sunday morning. Our worship goes to God every moment, every day.
Yeah.
In the ways we think, the way we spend our time, our acknowledging of Him, we worship God.
Right.
And to think that God is with me and in me and all these great things is glorious, and I just bubble up once in a while. You know, that quote by Moo earlier, he said, no matter how much I have to grow in this spiritual walk, sometimes you feel dry. You feel He's not there, but the truth is that He is. And when you believe, God is there. And the opposite is true too. There are times when maybe you read some verse and it just strikes you. It brings to your knees. It bubbles up joy. A fresh pouring of God's Spirit in you. And even in those times, you know, sometimes people want to live on the mountaintop. And when they maybe tumble off it a bit, they think, oh, God's Spirit isn't with me anymore.
It is
not true. God is with you always. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. So we worship. I think courage is an appropriate response. I mean, courage to confidently face life's circumstances.
Right.
You all, every one of you, I know you have burdens, problems, struggles, weaknesses in our body. We're breaking down, you know. Tenseness and brokenness in relationships. We can face it. We can face it because God's presence is with us. We can have courage in dreaming big for God's kingdom.
Right.
You know, we think maybe we're small. What can I do? What can we do? Church, we're tiny, right? That's what people told David when he faced Goliath. That's what nations told Israel when they were marching on Jericho. That's what people told Jesus when He went to the cross. There's nothing too big.
No.
We don't need to be afraid of dreaming big for Him. We have courage in the sharing of our faith. Courage to reach out to a neighbor, in even a small way. You know, and I understand the fear. I remember once I was on a Christmas conference with Campus Crusade, and part of the deal was we had to pair up and go into this neighborhood in Chicago, and we went door to door. Scared me to death. I mean, I literally, knees shaking, knocking on a door, just to inquire in a very non-threatening way about spiritual things. You don't have to be afraid.
No.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
Amen.
You are never alone.
Amen.
Only you know the condition of your heart. So if this is true, if you are in Christ, if God has spoken to you and you have said, I believe, God's Spirit's in you. Period. So if you have doubts, you can fall back on that. And also if maybe you hadn't, really. Maybe you've just been tagging along with family because they're Christian, or you signed a card at some point. But know that if God is speaking to you and softening your hearts today, God's Spirit dwelling in you can be true.
Amen.
It can be true. Let's stand together now as we
flows and the confidence of this. We're going to do a different hymn that's in the bulletin. Let's turn to 542. I was singing this morning, and 542 is when we all get to heaven. And as we sing these verses, just look at these words. As we think and hang on to this link, no condemnation. God's Spirit is with us, and we have hope of life eternal, a new body.
Yeah.
And someday, we will all be in heaven. Let's sing this together. 542.